Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. The Lord bless you and be with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's go to the Father and ask His grace for us today. Oh, precious Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity for us to join together in your presence and enjoy your word. Learn to love you. Learn to walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for drawing us. Thank you for giving us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for opening our spiritual eyes and ears to perceive your ways. Thank you for working in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. Thank you for manifesting your Son in us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And now, Lord, let us have your anointing today, God. And let your words go forth. And please encourage the brethren, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have been, once again, we've been studying the real good news. And especially concerning God's provision for His people. Not only in these days, but in the days to come. And I tell you, the Lord says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. And we've discovered that because of the sacrificial provision of Christ, that all those things are guaranteed to those that believe. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes. The good news, the good news. We have real good news, folks. And because of that, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we know that we can abide in Christ through our faith. We're accounted righteous through our faith. And because of our faith and what happened at that cross, we have these benefits. And we're told, forget not all of his benefits, right? Well, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and you are what you are. And we really can't claim anything, but it is by the grace of God working in us and through us, through the faith that he has given unto us, right? Praise be to God. And you know, I have really enjoyed, sounds kind of strange, but I've really enjoyed for many, many years walking in what the Lord has shown me is a wilderness. It's really just a wilderness of man's ability. You know, the wilderness for Israel wasn't a place where they could provide for themselves, but they got to see the awesome provision of God. Once again, folks, we're going to see the awesome provision of God, and we've been seeing it. I tell you, to be a Christian is to have a miraculous life. It's a life of realizing your weakness in the wilderness, but receiving God's power. His power is made perfect in weakness. We're learning how to trust in Him. The righteous shall live from faith, the Scripture says, and we're learning how to trust in Him. You know, for many years, not long after I came to the Lord, as a matter of fact, I learned about this wilderness, and I learned that walking by faith was fun. I loved to see God's personal care manifested in my life and in the things around me. I love to see signs and wonders and healings and miracles and deliverances. And, of course, I started out young in the faith and immature in my walk, but the Lord helped me to continue to grow. And I had many, many years of seeing God's provision before coming to the place I am today. And in those early years, I stored up treasures in heaven. I lost all real interest in the world and the things of the world. Many of the things that I treasured when I was in the world meant nothing to me. And so I really just started getting rid of them and using them to actually plundering Egypt to benefit the kingdom. That's what I called it, like the Israelites did when they went into the wilderness, you know. I did that a lot. And I enjoyed walking into places, and still do, walking into places where I didn't bring my own provision, kind of like what Jesus did with his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. Let me read that to you. He said, "Get you no gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, no wallet for your journey, neither two coats, nor shoes, nor staff, for the laborer is worthy of his food." In other words, they went without their own provision as disciples of Christ, going forth to do his work, to carry on the Great Commission. And the Lord was always there. He said, "The laborer is worthy of his food." So the Lord was always there. And he's been there for me, too. I mean, many times, in obedience to the Lord, I found myself in a wilderness place. You know, if you obey God's word, you're automatically in the wilderness. If you do what God tells you to do, it puts you in the wilderness. I remember one time that there was a brother and his family who was in need. And I made a really good living at the time, but I didn't keep it. You know, I tried to find the need around me and meet the need, and I was storing up my treasures in heaven, basically, and storing up for the 7 years, in the 7 years of plenty, for the 7 years of famine, you know, as we've looked at. And so I basically knew that I wasn't going to have a paycheck for another 2 weeks. And the Lord sent me a trial. I gave what I had to this brother's family because they were in need at the time. And the Bible says, if you see your brother in need and withhold from him, how does the love of God abide in you? So I went ahead and gave him what I had. I didn't store up my treasures on earth at the time. We didn't bother to do that. Jesus commanded us not to do that. And there was always plenty of needs around me. So anyway, I went ahead and gave to the brother. And the next thing you know, the water pump on my truck went out. The water pump on my truck started wobbling real bad. The shaft on the water pump started wobbling real bad. And I saw it, and I'd never really seen one go that bad without really the water pump seal going out on it. So when I saw that, I said, "Well, Lord, I just ask you to keep this water pump going until my next paycheck." And now, you know, that's what I felt to do at the time, but I've prayed over water pumps before, and God's healed them, and alternators, and God's healed them, and God still does that. But at the time, that's what I felt to do, and I learned a lesson through it, believe it or not. The lesson is, be careful what you ask God, and be very specific, you know. I asked God, "Lord, I'm asking you to make this water pump and this seal last until I get my next paycheck." Well, I had, 20 miles to work, 20 miles back. So in the next 2 weeks, I put a lot of miles on that thing with that water pump, actually, the shaft actually moving around, jumping around in there, you know, because it was really bad. And, you know, the Lord answered my prayer perfectly and exactly, because 2 weeks later, I pulled into the bank in town to get some money from my paycheck, and right there in the drive-thru with the teller right next to me, my water pump seal blows out on the ground. And that's what I'd ask God. I says, "God, just make it last until I get my check, you know." And it blew out right there in the teller stall there, you know, the drive-thru. And, before the water all ran out, I just wheeled right across the road. There was an auto parts store. I parked the truck there, went in, bought the water pump seal, borrowed some tools, and put it in right there. It happened to be one of those that was very easy to put in, and I was a pretty good mechanic. I was a trained machinist. So before long, I headed in. I was back on the road again. Went home, you know. But I've prayed over water pumps and didn't. But this is a time when the Lord, you know what? If you store up your treasures in heaven, they're always there for you. You know, the Lord is always going to provide for you. He's going to meet your needs. And, you know, like Corinthians speaks about, you know, your abundance being a supply for their want, that later on their abundance would be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And, you know, you never know when the Lord causes you to reap what you have sown down the road, you know. Again, we can't take any credit for anything. It's the Lord's grace working in us. Because of our faith, God continues to give us the desire and the ability to do what He wants done and to do signs and wonders that can be used to glorify Him. You know, after quite a few years of my own trials like that and being in the ministry, it was in the ministry part-time, the Lord decided to answer one of my prayers, which was to go into the full-time ministry. And leading up to that time, I think it was about 7 years before we moved to Pensacola, Florida. The Lord started giving us dreams about going to Pensacola. And one guy in particular, I remember his name was Ricky. And he was a young teenage brother who was who had a dream about us moving to Florida. As a matter of fact, in his dream, he had shown up at my neighbor's house, and my neighbor had pointed over towards our house, and he said, "Look over there." And so he looked over, and we had a U-Haul backed up to our door. And he said in his dream, he walked across to and met me over in the yard, and we were packing up the U-Haul, moving to Florida. And he said that I said, I'm never going to work for man again. And he said, I showed him some papers, and he looked at the papers, and there was a word, started with a P, he said. I said, "Was it pension?" This was 7 years before it actually happened. He said, "Yeah, that's the word, pension." Well, it was a severance pension is what it was, what it ended up being 7 years after this. It was a severance pay. It was a year's pay is all it was. Wasn't enough to really help us out a lot, but there were a lot of other things that came in at that time to meet our needs. Well, to make a long story short, about 7 years later, I had been telling people for all that time that I was going to retire as a young person. And my retirement didn't mean much. It was a severance until I reach 60 or something like that, in which I get a little bit of a retirement then. And I'm not there yet. So anyway, we got a year's pay at that time. And I told everybody that for 7 years. And finally, the time came when the company decided to get rid of company labor because they were paying out a lot of benefits and hire contract labor. So that's how they decided to do it, is early retire anybody that would volunteer for that. Well, I already knew I was leaving, so the decision was made as soon as they made the offer, you know. Of course, I knew that that wasn't enough for me to live on or my family to live on. It was myself, my wife, and five kids. So I knew that that wasn't enough. But I asked the Lord, where I was in Louisiana, I had everything paid for. My house was paid for. Car was paid for and everything. So I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, the car was getting a little old." The Lord had already told us that we were going to give our house away. And so I asked the Lord, I said, "Well, Lord, I'm asking you to give me a house and give me a car in Pensacola." And so, you know how kids are. My kids, I told my kids, "The Lord's going to give us a house and give us a car." I confessed it to them. They went and confessed it to all the relatives. They told all the relatives, "Hey, God's going to give us a house and a car in Pensacola, Florida." And, of course, you know how relatives are, especially unbelieving relatives. They said, "Oh, no, no way. You're crazy." Even my dad told them that, poor little kids, you know. My dad told them, "No, God's not going to do that," you know. Well, God did do that. Did it exactly, as a matter of fact. And 7 years later, Ricky I hadn't seen him in years, but he showed up at my neighbor's house. My neighbor pointed him over there towards us, and we had a U-Haul backed up to the door. And so when he came over to see me, I told him about the papers, and I told him, I said, sure enough, Ricky, I'm never going to work for man again. And, you know, that really put me into the wilderness, that revelation that I'm not going to work for man anymore. Of course, the Lord showed me that I was going to work full-time in the ministry, but I wasn't supported by some big organization. Matter of fact, I was one of those guys that was a come-outer, you know. I was getting delivered of religion, and I really didn't want to be in any bondage to it. But I knew God had spoken and that God was doing this miracle. So, to make a long story short, I agreed with, we actually had a church out at Exxon at the time, and I agreed with the brethren there that the Lord was going to give me a house and give me a car because I was totally out of debt where I was, but the Lord had revealed to us that we were going to give our house away. And later he revealed to me that I was going to give my car away. So the Lord kind of put us in a position of being in a wilderness because we really didn't have anything, any provision of our own. We were giving up the provision that we had. My wife asked me one day, he says, well, you think we're going to sell our house and buy over there? And so I asked the Lord, and the Lord said, no, you're going to give your house away, which is exactly what we did. So that, once again, you know, we needed God to come through. And God came through awesomely. Because 1 week after I agreed in faith, you know, the Bible says, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. 1 week after we agreed, this is the way God chose to answer the prayer. Now, it probably isn't the way I would have chosen, but God had his own plans, right? 1 week after that, my wife and my daughter got in a wreck out on one of the main drags going through Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it was at Christmas time, and she was coming up behind a Cadillac in a Toyota, and the man behind her was in a big Lincoln, and he was sightseeing, looking from side to side, and he didn't pay any attention, and the car in front of my wife stopped, and here he plowed right into the back of him and squashed this little Toyota Corolla between a Cadillac and a Lincoln. And didn't leave much of our Toyota Corolla. Anyway, they had to use the jaws of life to get my wife out of the car, my daughter out of the car. And my daughter was slightly injured, and my wife was slightly injured. Nothing that the Lord couldn't handle. But we kind of thought it was an angel that came up alongside the car and spoke to my wife and says, oh, don't worry, that guy's got, I don't know how they would have known it, whoever it was gone right after that. So don't worry, that guy's got good insurance. Well, I don't know how they would have known that, you know, but anyway, come to find out, the guy behind her had something like 100, 300, and 100 insurance. And he was self-insured. And he was just so repentant about, oh, he's just telling my wife, he's so sorry that's happened. It was all his fault. And he was, you know, but don't worry about it. We're going to take care of you. So, anyway, to make the long story short, that's exactly what happened. They did take care of us. And bought us a new Toyota Corolla. And we ended up buying a new station wagon because I have five kids. You can't get them in a Toyota Corolla. So, it was a big Chevy station wagon, and we knew it was time because we had been asking the Lord, and the Lord had given us visions about being in our house over in Pensacola with a little hip-sized baby girl on my hip walking through the house. And our little girl had now become hip-sized, and we knew it's time to move. And all of a sudden, all these things start coming together at one time. And, of course, we needed enough money to come over here and buy a house outright because we weren't in debt. The Lord had taught us many years before to get out of debt and don't ever go back there. And we did that. We obeyed the Lord, and he got us out of debt. We prayed and asked him to do it. He got us totally out of debt. And even everything we bought was, you know, cash. And even though we didn't save up, I mean, God always came through at the right moment for us, you know. And so we've never been in debt since that day, or since actually almost shortly after I came to the Lord. Maybe a year after I came to the Lord, I'd never been in debt, stayed out of debt. And I suggest that to every one of you. You know, the borrower is servant to the lender. You don't take what God puts under your hand as a steward and put it in bondage. You know, I mean, that's something that's totally anti-scriptural. I don't know if you know that or not. And you say, well, how's God going to get me a house if I don't go into debt? Well, folks, if you don't ever go into the place, into the wilderness place of your own weakness, you never get to see God's strength. His power is made perfect in weakness. God can do everything, and He will. He will supply your every need according to His riches and glory. Even in the coming wilderness, folks, God's going to provide for shelter for His children. And anyway, He, through that wreck, provided us handsomely cars, both cars, matter of fact, and our house. And it wasn't a fancy house, but I wasn't a fancy person. And it was totally paid for. It did everything we needed. It was a very nice area. We liked the area, everything. Even the Lord showed me a vision of it before I came to Pensacola to find it. He showed me a vision of it. I saw it underneath great big oak trees. And loved the place. It's an old house, but it's very solid, solid as a rock, and meets all of our needs. And it's an older part of Pensacola, and we like it there. So anyway, God wondrously provided for us through this. He showed us who to give the house to. We did that. It was a need that these people needed because they had just lost their company house and their company car. And God miraculously came through for them, you know. I remember that, you know, my wife was a little bit uneasy about it. She didn't know for sure if I'd heard from the Lord about giving her house away, but I asked the Lord to give her a sign, and the sign was, let me think, I believe it was six heads in a row or something like that. I believe that's what it was, six heads in a row. And so she asked, and I did this sign. I confidently affirmed that it was going to come up that way, and it did, six heads in a row. And so the answer confirmed to her that we were going in the right direction, and she was confident. And so, you know, the lot parteth between the brethren, the Bible says, you know. In other words, if somebody's not totally convinced, God can come through, right? So anyway, that started the beginning of our ministry, a full-time ministry. And again, I was walking into a wilderness because in the previous years that I had ministered, the Lord taught me some things that I had abided by in the Scriptures. I think I told you a little bit about it in our last meeting, and that was that the Lord showed me that neither He nor His disciples took up collections for themselves. And so I never did it. I never did it. And during the time of our part-time ministry, and then when I started full-time ministry, here I was coming to a new town, didn't know anybody, wasn't receiving any support. But I came here with enough money to buy our house, you know, because, of course, Exxon gave me a year's salary, and we had this wreck. And so I came here with enough to buy our house and buy our car. So we were starting out with no debt, which was neat, but we had no visible means of support either. And some principles that the Lord had put in my heart, which I'd already been obeying, was that we didn't take up any collections. And we didn't receive any money from any government money or anything like that. Basically, we were going into a wilderness, folks, a place where God would have to supply supernaturally. And another thing is, like I shared with you last time, I think it was last time, that I didn't teach the tithe. I did not bring God's people under the law of the old covenant tithe. I taught, of course, I didn't teach giving to me, as a matter of fact. Didn't even talk about giving to me. Haven't, until this day, talked about giving to me. And in our meetings, you know, people, you know, I never talked about it. Once in a while, people would come up to me and give me money and which was fine. And I never talked about what my needs were. I didn't tell people my needs. I felt like that wasn't faith. As a matter of fact, I felt like it was probably extortion. And let me read something to you. I believe that's exactly what the scripture teaches about it. You know why? I had a neighbor, brother, who was into a prosperity movement, and he told me about how in that movement people would get up and tell everything that they were believing the Lord for. So, of course, somebody out there, when they'd see their brother in need, they'd feel like they had to answer that need, you know. Well, it wasn't faith in God. It was manipulation. And I'm remembering here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul wasn't taking up a collection for himself or his ministry here, but he was taking up a collection for the Macedonians who were in great need, the Macedonian Christians, and he was writing to Corinth about this collection. And he was basically asking them from, say, 1 through verse 5 to set by this collection before they came, in case he came with the Macedonians. It wouldn't look bad to these people. It wouldn't look like, here we're putting these people in need up in front of you, and now you've got to give to them because we've stuck them up in front of you. Well, he said in verse 5, I thought it necessary, therefore, to entreat the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand the aforepromised bounty, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of extortion. In other words, using their position by bringing these brethren in need up before the assembly and the Corinthians, using this position in order to gain from people and putting them in a position where they had to give because the scripture commanded them to. It was, he called it extortion. Some versions put the word covetous there, but the numerics uses the word extortion there. The numeric pattern is in my Bible uses the word extortion. It's using your position to manipulate people out of their money. So I learned if you got a need, bring it to God. Ask God. And that's the way of faith. You know, don't be telling everybody your needs. You're putting yourself in a position to be an extortioner and manipulating people, like a lot of the religions do and the religious leaders do. God's not pleased with that. So here I was put in a position where I didn't take up collections or didn't take any government money or didn't command the tithe, didn't make people pay, you know. I mean, freely you have received, freely give, the Bible says. So I just freely gave. I didn't tell people my needs. And so I was put in this position of basically being in a wilderness, you know, trusting in God. And since I didn't talk about money, there were actually people that had I'd ministered to for months and months and months that would come along and say, by the way, David, how do you make your living? They didn't even know. And the brethren that are in our assembly now, they'll tell you the same thing, you know, that I just didn't talk about it. I figured they hear so much of this. God's people hear so much of this manipulation that they need an example. And they need to not hear this bringing disrepute to the gospel. All this begging. And so the disciples, you know, he sent them out without their own way of providing. He said, the laborer is worthy of his food. In other words, God said, I'm going to take care of you. Get you no gold or silver in your purses. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm going to take care of you. And I tell you what I have found over the years in the full-time ministry, since we've been in the full-time ministry, that God's never failed to take care of us. Now, we haven't lived richly because I don't believe in that personally. I don't believe. I believe that everyone needs to sacrifice, live a sacrificial life, you know. We're not here to please ourselves or our flesh. And we're here to please the Lord, and we're here to sacrifice. This old man doesn't need everything he wants. My God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory, the Bible says. Need is a need. And we do have needs. And God knows it, and he will provide them. In fact, he'll even provide our wants sometimes, you know. And we can ask and we can receive because He's a very good and generous God. He gives us richly everything that we need. But I started learning how to walk with the Lord. I mean, before I had plenty of income, but I didn't keep it. So I was in a wilderness basically of my own making before. But now we were in one, you know, probably after about the first year, we ran out of the money that we had. And, of course, we gave to people's needs all that time and met the needs that we saw because we weren't saving up our money or anything. But within a year, we'd run out of everything. And so we were basically learning to walk by faith. And we lived basically on an edge of a cliff. I mean, you talk about the eagles on the cliff, you know, that live on the side of the cliff. Well, that's kind of the way we did. We always saw the edge. It's not like the Lord gave us a whole bunch of money to put in the bank so we could trust in the money and not walk by faith. The righteous shall live from faith, and He taught us to live by faith day by day. And sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for tomorrow, basically. Don't worry about tomorrow. We learned how to not worry about tomorrow. And, of course, we gave what we had, and God multiplied it. And that's the way that God brought us through it, basically, is learning to give what we had, even if it wasn't enough to meet the need that we had as far as the bills at the end of the month. We gave what we had. Many times the Lord would tell me to go and give what you have. And yet I was counting sometimes on this to meet my bills at the end of the month. And I wouldn't have any money to meet my bills if I gave it. But I knew that God said, give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. And so I gave. And we gave out of our need many, many, many times. But the Lord never, ever failed us. I mean, we came up to the cliff, and we never quite fell over. You know, God always kind of took care of us. But it was fun watching God come through one way and then another because we didn't have a large income. Many times we walked by faith, or always walked by faith, in God taking care of things that would normally break or our bodies that might normally break or sicknesses and things like that. The Lord always healed us. Of course, He always did it before then, but He always healed us. When we stood by faith, endured the trial, He healed our vehicles. We prayed for our vehicles and God healing because we didn't want to waste any of our precious income that was coming in on things like that. So we would pray over our cars and our vehicles and our water pumps and so on and so forth, and God would fix them, folks. God would fix them. I tell you, when you're in a position in the wilderness of being weak, that's where God's strong. His power is made perfect in weakness. So we got to see many, many miracles like that. I've forgotten more miracles than many people ever see in their own personal family. But I remember some of my growing up experiences, too. I remember one time I decided to help God out. And I planted some tomatoes. Now, my yard was overshadowed by these great big oak trees. And so I decided, well, I'm going to plant a little garden. I'll kind of help God out, probably somewhere back in my thinking, you know. So I started planting some tomatoes in one of the only spots in the yard. Actually, I planted them in 5-gallon buckets because the sun moved around a little bit. And the only spot in our yard that we had some sun, I put these buckets, and these things started sprouting tomatoes, sure enough. And right about the time they started turning the right color, the birds came and just plundered them. You know, they were gone. I mean, it was an awesome miracle of God. They were just gone, you know. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. And then the Lord spoke to me and He said, I didn't call you here to plant tomatoes. I called you here to study the Word and to share with my people. And you best be getting about the business that I sent you to do. I said, yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. So I gave up on the tomato idea. And you know what happened? God spoke to a lady about that time. She didn't know anything about this situation because I didn't tell people about these kind of things. And she didn't know a thing about this situation. But she knew us. And she was going to a local farm where you pick tomatoes. You could pick tomatoes. And she went and picked her up a bunch of, and she was out there picking these tomatoes, big, vine ripened, nice kind of tomatoes, and she was doing that, and the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to pick a couple of sacks of tomatoes and bring them to David. I mean, these big sacks, So I'm talking about tomatoes this big, vine ripened, beautiful tomatoes, So she shows up right after this situation with the Lord, And me and her had a really good laugh, after she showed up with these tomatoes, and the Lord basically showed me and says, look, son, I can take care of that. I can take care of you. You just take care of me. You just take care of my children, and I'll take care of you. You just be about your Father's business. You just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Don't you worry about the supply. I'll take care of that. That's basically what he was saying to me with the tomato situation, And I remember that new car that the Lord had given me. It was a new Chevrolet station wagon. And I think I had something like maybe 35 or 40,000 miles on it. And I was really sold on this, some of you know what it is, Slick 50. I was really sold on it. I'd seen a demonstration of an engine running on Slick 50 and dumping all the oil out, and the thing kept running. And says, wow, that's a really good lubricant, it was a really awesome demonstration, So I wanted to put some of that in my car. But actually, I feel like the Lord really just wanted me to trust in Him for that car, keep the engine running and keep it in good shape and so on. But I put that in there, and actually I put it in there before they recommend it. They recommend you get some miles on the car because they say you can break rings if you put it in there with the engine too tight, like it is when it's new, like 35, 40,000 miles. So anyway, I got some of that stuff and put it in there, and we were called to Texas to preach in a gathering over there, an assembly over there, and we got all the kids in the car, and we got out on the road, and I remember looking up in the rearview mirror and seeing this cloud of smoke pouring out the back of my car. I said, what's wrong? This is a new car. Why would this be, Got out, checked the PCV, checked everything, It wasn't any of the simple things that could normally cause the crankcase to suck oil over into the combustion chamber. Knowing a little bit about engines, I did. But, and I realized that I'd busted some rings. And so here we are. We had to make it from here all the way to Texas and preach and then come back. Stay up, I think, a week and then come back. And I poured a quart of oil on that thing and commanded that engine to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I think I ended up pouring about 2 quarts of oil in that thing before it stopped using it. And it just stopped, never gave us a bit more trouble. It wasn't overfilled either. I checked everything. It wasn't overfilled. It wasn't the PCV plugged up. And of course, it was a new engine. It had just broken some rings. And God fixed that engine. He put that thing back together, and we drove that car for as long as we had it. Never had a bit more trouble with the rings or the engine or using oil either. It never used any more oil, So it was just an awesome thing. I was depending on my idea about how God's going to preserve this engine. I'll give it the best lubricant and so on and so forth. God wouldn't have it. His power was made perfect in my weakness. And many other educational things the Lord gave me. I got to see just instant miracles, of water pump seals, just commanding them in the name of Jesus to stop leaking, and God just sealed them up, and alternators and things like that. Just commanding them to be healed, and God would heal them, and, different things. I called it healing because, early in my Christian walk, I figured God can heal a body, He can heal an engine, or He can heal a washing machine, or He can heal a refrigerator, or He can heal a AC or whatever, And so I would pray over things like that, and God would heal them. And I always called it healing. I guess I never really got out of that. But I remember we bought a brand new washing machine because we basically gave the washer and the dryer and the refrigerator and all those kinds of things. We gave them away with the house. So basically we came over here and we bought a new washing machine, and over, it's very sandy in this area, and my kids were always out in the sand and walking and tracking it into the house sometimes and so on and so forth. And the water pump seals in those washing machines, you get a lot of sand in them, the seal will go out on them. And so I remember the water pump seal went out on this thing, and we had a brother in the assembly that we had, the small assembly that we had, that he found out about it, and he says, "Oh, I just went through George Stone. It's a local tech school." Excuse me, Bill was telling me, local tech school, and he told me, he says, "I'm going to this thing." He says, "I can take this washing machine over there, and we can train on it. We'll fix it. We'll bring it back. All it'll cost you is parts." I says, "Wow, that's neat." You know, I mean, I was in the position where I needed it fixed. I had prayed over washing machines, even had my children pray over washing machines before this, and God fixed them. Sent my two boys to pray over our washing machine before we left Louisiana, and it wouldn't run. Couldn't make it run. They laid hands on it, commanded it to run, Jesus' name, and that thing took off and never had any more trouble with it. So we did those kinds of things. We liked doing it. But he wanted to train on it, and I sent him on off. Well, he called me the next day and said, "Well, we got it fixed, and the parts were only $70. Well, he was going to bring it by that night, as a matter of fact. So I didn't have the money to fix it. Didn't have the money to pay for the parts. I only had $20 at the time. So it suddenly came to me that I was standing in front of the picture window in our house, and I pointed out the mailbox, and I said, $50 is coming in that mailbox today. That's just what came into my mind. It just came right out of my mouth. $50 coming in that mailbox today. Well, we weren't used to getting money in the mail, you know. We were used to getting money from individuals who would offer it to us, you know. So after a while, I walked out to the mailbox after the mailman came through, and sure enough, there was an envelope in there from a brother that had moved from here, up north, and I opened the envelope, and there was a check in it for $50. Had no idea it was coming, except other than speaking the word, you know. And then the Lord impressed me to look at the post date on it. It was post dated 2 months before this day. It had been hung up in the mail for 2 months, waiting on me to say $50 was coming in that mailbox today. Floating around for 2 months. And I read the letter. The brother said, "It's past midnight. The Lord won't let me go to bed until I write this check and get it in the mail." And, you know, I thought, now, Lord, you did that just to show me that you can coordinate things perfectly on time. It was floating around. It was an emergency for this guy to get it in the mail so it could float around out there for 2 months and finally show up at my mailbox the exact day I had to have it. You know, we've got an omnipotent God, folks. He can meet our needs anytime, anyway. He's looking for somebody to speak the word of faith. That's what he's waiting on. Somebody to speak the word of faith. Well, you know, I got the washing machine, got it fixed, paid the guy right on time, paid the brother right on time. And after a few years, the thing started leaking again. The next time, the Lord wanted me to do it the easy way. So I did. I commanded that thing to be healed in the name of Jesus, and God healed it. And, you know, that was a kind of a trial, because my wife, a few months later, she was walking back here. She says, "This washing machine's leaking again." I says, "No, it's not." And in a day or two, it wasn't leaking again. And I think in a month or two, my wife went back there again. She says, "Hey, this washing machine's leaking a little bit again. I see a little dampness on the floor." I says, "No, it's not." And you know what? The Lord sealed it up after that. We never had any more trouble with that washing machine. And, you know, it was getting kind of old. And I asked the Lord for another one. And you know what happened? This is astounding. I mean, it was still holding up good and everything. It was working good. I just asked the Lord to give me another one. Well, when I did that, a neighbor lady who has a Cadillac drove up in her garage, and in the head of her garage was her washer and dryer. She drove up in her garage and didn't stop in time and hit her brand new washing machine. Well, her husband, you know, got the insurance people to come out and get her a new washing machine. The new washing machine came in, and one day he just said to me, he said, David, I got a washing machine over there. It's brand new. The only thing is the box is wrinkled on it a little bit. And he said, would you come over and look at it? And I went over and looked at it, and sure enough, there was nothing wrong with the washing machine. Just the box was wrinkled where his wife's bumper hit it. And he said, would you like to, I mean, he's just going to haul this thing off. He said, wouldn't you like to have this thing? I says, well, sure, I would like to have it, you know. So we ended up with our new washing machine. God's got so many ways of coming through for you, you know. So I got a free washing machine. The Lord taught me, it's be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according, it's however you can believe, God can do it. You know, I asked God to heal my teeth one time, and God healed my teeth. He didn't put fillings in. He healed it. I had two molars that had a terrible cavity, and he healed them. My neighbor, we prayed for our neighbor. She asked for a filling. We prayed. God put fillings in her teeth. But me, I asked God to heal my teeth, and he healed the teeth. It's according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. How you can believe, you know. And we've prayed over air conditioners. Had a neighbor that couldn't afford to get his air conditioner worked on. And I said, well, let's just pray over it and command it to be healed. And we commanded it to be healed, and God healed it. And but one time, my own air conditioner had gone out, and I didn't know much about AC, but I walked out there to look at it, and I took the cover off of it, and I looked around looking for maybe a burnt wire or something simple, because I'm not all that big on electrical, you know, things. And so I didn't know what to do with it. I walked back in the house, and my wife says, well, what you going to do about the air conditioner? I says, nothing. God's going to send somebody to fix it. She says, oh, yeah. I says, yep. And a few minutes, I looked out my back window, and here comes my neighbor from behind the house was coming into my yard. And I walked out there. This guy I never said to him, or I couldn't really strike up a conversation with him because he was very introverted, I would say, and he was a very, he just wasn't a talkative guy at all. So I never had been able to get in a conversation with him at all. I mean, if he answered me, it was one or two words, and that was it. You know, he just really wasn't fond of me whatsoever. But anyway, here's this guy walking over into my backyard. And so I went out there to see what it was all about. He says, I saw you looking at your air conditioner. I just went through school to learn how to work on air conditioners. And that was more than he'd ever said to me in his whole life, you know, and in my experience. And he said, would you like me to look at this thing? He says, it's a good time for me to use some of my training. I says, well, sure. You know, he went right to the problem. He says, oh, all I got to do is go get this part right here. You know, and it was a capacitor. And I said, well, thank you. He said, no problem. He says, this is just as joyous as it could be. And so I went and got the capacitor, stuck in it, and sure enough, that was a problem. Cranked it right up, and everything worked fine. And so his wife calls me. She said, what did so-and-so, her husband, what did he want? I said, well, my air conditioner was broken. He was kind enough to come over and show me what was wrong with it. She said, he's never done anything like that for anybody. I've never seen him do that, you know? And I said, well, I was believing God to send someone to fix my air conditioner for me. She said, well, it had to be. It had to be God. You know, I says, well, he sent him. So he just worked in this man a desire and a will to come over and, you know, and she says he's never done anything like that for anybody. So God came through. You know, he fixed our air conditioner, and it was very, very cheap, and he didn't want any money, and so on and so forth, you know. Just one thing after another. You know, when you're in that position, God just does miracles. Now, I've prayed over my ice box, prayed over our children, prayed over our teeth, prayed over, you know, it doesn't make any difference. When you're in a position of weakness, folks, you're in the wilderness. And sometimes you just put yourself there by obedience to God's word. You know, if he tells you all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Do you really believe that, or do you believe that passed away with the apostles? Huh? If you really believe it, you won't worry about going anywhere. You won't even worry about storing up your treasures on earth for one day, having a rainy day where you have a need. You know, people used to call it storing up for a rainy day. You know, well, let me tell you what the Lord taught me about rainy days. If you store up for a rainy day is coming. If you store up in case you might need it, you'll need it. If you trust in insurance instead of assurance, you'll need it. But if you don't worry about it, you just seek first the kingdom of God. When the day comes that you might have a need, he will meet it. You know, you trust in his assurance. His assurance is in his word. He will meet your need. He'll do it miraculously. He's done it for us many, many times, over and over and over. And it really didn't matter. Our tires seemed to last forever. And if something went wrong with our car, we would pray for our car, you know. And our children, everything they prayed for. You know, you'd think, well, David, you sure you weren't causing your children to go through a rather harsh trial? Listen, my kids never lacked for anything. I prayed with them, and what they prayed for in the way of toys would come miraculously. I remember my daughter one time came to me and she said, "Daddy, that's the swimming pool we used to have. It was a little wading type pool. You know, the swimming pool we had is rotted and it doesn't hold water now." I said, "Well, you know where we get swimming pools, don't you?" She says, "Yeah." So we prayed and we agreed that God was going to send her a swimming pool. And I'll tell you what, a week later, my little boys had their own business. They would go out and cut grass, and they were just happy as a lark because God would give them all the money they needed for toys and so on and so forth, things that they wanted. And so they cut this lady that was about five blocks down the road, and they cut her grass. And I guess they had told her where they lived. And one day we got a knock on the door, and here's this lady that we had never actually met. She's kind of looking in the house. She says, "Well, I'm looking for a couple of little boys that come down and cut my grass." And Nathan poked his head around the corner. She said, "Oh, I see. I found the right place, you know." And anyway, she said, "Listen, if you guys would come down and cut my grass again, I've got a swimming pool I'd like to give you that I bought." This was a week after we had agreed for my daughter's swimming pool. "That I bought for exercising in, and I'm not going to use it." And come to find out, it was one of those 4-foot pools with the filter and the ladder and everything necessary, you know. And so they went down there and cut her grass. They cut her grass a couple of times. And she just gave us stuff brand new in the box, you know. We set it up, and of course they all had fun with that for a few years, you know. But my daughter got to see God come through for her. We didn't have any money to buy any swimming pool. But she got to see, my kids, my boys got to see God come through and answer her prayers. As she got to see over and over and over this, that God would answer our prayers. Because, you know, when I told her, I says, you know, honey, where we get these things. We go to God, right? She says, "Yep." So we joined hands and we prayed the prayer of agreement. The Bible says, "If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven." So we prayed that prayer of agreement, and God came through a week later. And I remember when my boys decided, when they were young, they wanted a motorcycle, a certain motorcycle. I says, "Okay, let's pray." And you know what? I don't think it was 2 weeks before they had that motorcycle. A guy that lives behind us and works on them had one in his yard. And he offered them a real good deal on it, you know. So a deal they couldn't refuse, really. And they didn't go around telling people about their needs. They did the same thing we did. We prayed. We believed God. We confessed it before him. We thanked him for it, so on and so forth. God's just awesome, folks. I tell you, you can't outgive God. You know, you can make a living by giving. I just pray that the Lord will encourage you and fill you with His faith and boldness to walk by faith, because there's days coming down the road that it's going to be necessary. God bless you, and walk with Jesus. God bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true.